it's too graphic to even talk about it, but look at what God has done for our dear brother. Amen. Amen. God, we are grateful. God, we are grateful. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I was talking about the scriptures that points to the beginning of things. One of them that is not necessarily in Genesis is the book of John chapter 1. It highlights the beginning of things, in the beginning. And in talking about the beginning of things, one element that it does not leave out is the element of light. Do you understand it? Just as when you go to Genesis, you will see that in creation, at the beginning of creation, what is falling creation is that the Bible speaks of light. Okay, so the beginning scriptures, the ending scriptures, if you look at Genesis and you look at the ending scriptures in Revelation, one key concept that is consistent in the theme of both of these things, narratives in the Bible, is the element of light. Light is in both of them. It is very prevailing. The element of light is prevailing in the story. Light is saying a lot in the story. Light is giving us a clue in the story. Please, I want you to really pay attention to me, because there are a few things I want to say to you that you would carry it for life. I'm not just trying to paint a life picture where it's like you're going to be a life lesson. I want to teach you a mystery that would empower you to know what God is doing or what God did with creation in the issue of light. And I believe that it will change you forever. Okay, now listen carefully here. Both the beginning of creation and both the end of creation has an element of light in there that cannot be ignored. Light is a key player in this. So it is not as if God will begin with light and we will not see light again. We will see light again in the chapter. Likewise, we see a form of darkness as well. Hallelujah. It is in the book of John 1 verse 5, which is our theme, that says that the light shineth and the darkness did not comprehend, didn't have the power to overcome it. It did in all dimensions of contention. When the light shone, the darkness did not have a chance in any way, shape or form, have an ability to contend with light. No, put this thing at the back of your mind. So when we look at the book of Genesis, you will see that before creation, God created in a strategic order of timing. I want to ask a question. How many days did God take to create the universe, as according to your record in the Bible? Guys, I asked you, I didn't ask two answers. I asked you, how many days did God take? Why are you guys saying 6 days? Thank you. It's 7 days. If you look at the recorded amount of days in the Bible, how many days have God recorded in the order of creation? In the order of creation? No. Seven. The reason why it is seven is that after 7 days, he doesn't talk about, and on the 8th day, Adam rose up and did it. We don't mention 8th day. The recorded number of days pertaining to God's order of creating things is how many days? Seven. What did God create on the 7th day? According to the Bible, what did God create on the 7th day? God created something on the 7th day. This is why I say pay attention to me. And obviously, if it's not something you've paid attention to, it's not a problem. But if you read the book of Genesis and you go to 2, isn't it? Genesis 2, the Bible says that thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all array, in all of its vast array. Verse 2, it says, by the seventh day, what had he done? So when did God finish the work? And what did he do on the 7th day? No. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, what happened? What did God do on the 7th day? Exactly. So God did a form of creation in the 7th day, but it is not the creation that you is interested in. God did a work of rest and holiness that he embedded on the 7th day. I want to ask a question. On the 6th day, who did God bless? On the 6th day, who did God bless? I'm not trying to trick you. It's in your Bible. On the 6th day, who did God bless? Okay, good. So why is it difficult for you to tell me the answer that on the 6th day, God bless man? So this Genesis story that you followed all your life, I'm asking the question, who God blessed on the 6th day, and you guys are confused who he blessed on the 6th day. Mercy. That means that we really need to stay with our Bible. Okay, the reason why I went back to the 6th day for you to see that as part of God's action in the 6th day was to bless man is that on the 7th day, he does the same action. But on the 7th day, we don't see an entity that he blessed. We don't see a man that he's blessing rested on the seventh day. All that we see is that he blessed the day.
I'm bringing a mystery to you here. Think about it. Though, like I said, I've been asked to take my time. So when I say some things, I want you to ponder over them a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
On the seventh day, God had finished everything. And on the seventh day, he made it a restful day. And then he blessed it. So when God was blessing the day, how did he bless the day? Where did he put the blessing? On earth? So he looked into the atmosphere and he blessed the day. Okay. When we started reading, because of time, just want to say quite a lot as well. So you guys will run through the Bible for me. When we started reading the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, I think it was the verse 3 that he said, let there be light, isn't it? When we started reading that, do you guys realize that without the sun, the physical sun and the moon, God said, after he has said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness, he said, there was evening and what? There was evening and morning, and the morning was what? Day, and the night was evening. Okay, good. At this time, we had not created the sun and the moon, isn't it? So, I want you to listen to me carefully again, please. So, the beginning of the season of creation did not start from a physical order. The first 3 days that were recorded to mark the beginning of creation for mankind was marked by the order of the spiritual day and what? Night. I repeat again. The first 3 days in creation was marked by spiritual day and what? And night. I repeat again. The first 3 days of creation were marked by the spiritual day and the spiritual what? Night. So, I'm bringing something to your attention here. Then preceded another 3 days of what? After the 3 days of spiritual day and night, what followed? Another 3 days of what? Because let's do the math here. We say that he, in terms of creation, he created 6 days and he finished on the what? On the seventh day, isn't it? So, after the first 3 days of spiritual days and night, he followed on with how many days again? 3 days of the physical. So, in terms of the order of creation, we have a lifespan that is split into two. And this order of two, the order of two, runs across the book, The Mystery of Life. So, this is why you have a spiritual life as a man and you have a physical life as what? A man. Exactly. Again, I want to repeat myself. The first 3 days were the spiritual 3 days that preceded what was, the physical. And the physical day and night were only a type and a shadow, or only foreshadow or showed us what was happening in the world, in the spirit. The sun and the moon that were created were only created so that they would mark what has already been established in the world, in the spirit. So what we were seeing physically was only celestial physical beings or bodies that were pointing to spiritual things that had been in eternal existence. Am I correct? So you understand that creation, now you won't see your Genesis the way you see it again. So your book of Genesis was not created in chaos. Your book of Genesis is a perfect order of creation, but it has a hidden mystery to it. 3 days God revealed the order of the spirit. 3 days God revealed the order of the physical. And it was 3 days and night, the order of the spirit. 3 days and night, the order of the physical. And I want somebody to tell me, on the seventh day, how many orders in the day do we have? How many seasons do we have in the seventh day? On the seventh day, how many seasons did God have in the seventh day? Okay, so for the first 3 days, God created, when in terms of creation, for the first 3 days, there was evening and there was what? There was evening and there was what? Good. It repeated itself 3 days. And then the physical, there was evening and there was what? It repeated itself 3 days. On the seventh day, what did God say? Hey, who is that? Thank you. Thank you for reading. But there is an emphasis there that is not loud. I repeated something across. Juliana, are you here? Juliana has not connected her audio. So there is something here that I've repeated myself with. If you look at the beginning of the order, there are two seasons, isn't it? What are the seasons? Thank you. Both spiritual and physical. But when you enter into the seventh day, how many seasons do we have? Thank you. The Bible you read, he said day. He did, he says on the seventh day, he doesn't record God bless the evening and the morning. Because the seventh day is the day of perfection. And in the seventh day, he only record day. The morning represent day, which represent the greater light. Day. He blessed it. He doesn't bless the night. Just as at the beginning, when there was darkness, he never said it was good. It was only when the light came that he said it was what? It was good. So on the seventh day, he made it holy. He didn't make the seventh day holy with darkness. No, he made it holy only with day. And this seventh day that he's talking about was not a physical seventh day. The seventh day is the spiritual day of rest. This is why when Jesus showed up on the scene and they were observing the Sabbath, he made them aware that, like these guys, they didn't understand God. The Sabbath we are talking about is not necessarily a day that
We are telling you, don't go to work, don't do this, don't do this. The Sabbath, God, he says, I am the Lord of the world, of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is a personality, is a being. Just like from the beginning when he said, let there be what? Light. That this light is a being who is the day star. In the seventh day, this God marks that same day as the being of the day, and he makes it what? Holy. What was he making holy? You're thinking that he's making the day holy so we worship the day. God does not create such idolship. If he made the day holy, then it means that there was a representation of the day as a being and the personality of the day, which comes together to represent the perfection and the order of all what? Things. So when Jesus, the Bible says that God finished on the seventh day, he says he finished on the what? Are we there? It was Liar that read the scripture. He says on the seventh day he had finished all the work of his word creation, isn't it? Okay, so if he finished on the seventh day, and we have identified that the seventh day is a being, that means that the perfection and the finishing work of God rest on this being, isn't it? I repeat, if he finished on the seventh day and the seventh day rest on the being, that means that the perfection of everything in creation rests on this being, right? Okay, if you guys do not understand it that way, and you want to take it physical, as in God finished and he rested on that physical day, that means that God was snoring on the seventh day. But your Bible says that the Holy One of Israel neither sleep nor what? Slumber. So what was the rest that he needed on the seventh day? And if God can create... And if God can create the world in 6 days, why didn't he create it in 3 days? If a day is like 1,000 unto him, and a day 10,000, why didn't he create the earth in 10,000 days? Beloved, I want you to understand that the numerical order of creation that is spelled out is not necessarily to tell us that the project was hard, so he has to do it in 7 days. No, it is the mystery and the order of perfection. Seven, the number seven, represent perfection. When God was creating, he brought it to the seventh day because he had accumulated everything into the seven to represent the perfect order of finished work. So the seventh day is a being, it's a personality of light. The seventh day is that, you remember, we don't say seven, in the seventh day there was night and evening, we say the day, the seventh day. It represents the daylight, the greater light that rules. And so when Jesus showed up on the scene, if God has finished his work, why would Jesus showed up on the scene? Why would Jesus come if he has finished everything pertaining to creation? But we realize that the perfection of creation rested on this seventh day, whom in the wisdom of God that men didn't know from Genesis, that the mystery thereof is that this seventh day in manifestation becomes the one that finished the work of God. That is why when Christ showed up on the scene and he was on the cross finishing up everything so that he brings creation into holiness and perfection in the things that God has done, he said that it is what? It is finished. It is finished that you see in Genesis is that it is finished on the cross. Because without the Genesis, it is finished. You can't have that day and make it holy. My question is that why is it that when Adam and Eve sinned, God didn't put Adam and Eve in that day to make them pure if the day is holy? Yes. Why didn't God put Adam and Eve in the seventh day and make them holy? Because God has blessed the day and made it holy. So whatever partake in that day will become what? Holy. It's a holy day. When we have holy day, no holio, holy day, do we all not enjoy the holy day? Why is it that when it's holy day, we are all not holy? So I'm trying to tell you that if indeed you partake in the holy day, then it means you are holy, or you must be what? Holy. If you are not entitled to a holy day, you don't partake in it. It's because you're entitled. So if we're entitled to the enjoying or observing the Sabbath, then we must be sons and daughters of holiness. And we can prove that if we are of the lineage of Adam, then we can never be sons of holiness until we partake in the new birth in Christ Jesus, that through his blood, he cleanses us and we become sons of righteousness. Then we enter into the rest of Christ, that we are holy. Somebody said the book of Genesis. So just in a glimpse, if you go into Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, there is the mystery of the seven. The Bible talks of the mystery of the seven stars. So in the book of Revelation 1:20, when we are introducing the mystery of the seven, it starts from a lamp, it starts from a spirit, it starts from stars. It's an indication of luminous things, light, the perfect order of things, light. Until then, it represents the seven world churches. All these things are not coincident because God decided that, oh, I'm trying to cut the 10, but I've only had 7 by probability. No, it represents God's perfect order of doing things in creation. But beloved, having brought you to this point and having introduced the day to you in the place where the day is the day that is kept holy, I have a message that I preached on Moreau, you know, when Elisha was prophesying concerning Moreau. He said, the Bible says that God says that, speak to Moreau. Hallelujah. Speak to Moreau. Amen. What you don't realize that days are beings. Days are beings. And in fact, God can give you into a season where you yourself as an individual, you are a representation of a season, a dispensation of God. In the sense that the Bible says that the dispensation of the law, which was the law that was given to Israel, came through a being, a person called what? Moses. The Bible says the law came by what? Moses. But the dispensation of grace and truth came by who? Jesus. So Jesus was a representation of a dispensation. He was a season. He is a season. He's a dispensation. This is what most of you do not know. Every dispensation has a light that is introduced to each generation. Amen. Okay, let's go back there. So listen carefully here. We've realized that the first order of creation in this three night and day were not necessarily something physical, but something spiritual. And we are given the understanding that the light of the day in the spirit is greater light, but the light of the night in the darkness is the lesser light. When you bring it into the physical world, we see the same, just for your understanding. My question is that if during the night, are you listening? If during the night it is a form of darkness and that we are in darkness, why do we have the light called moon trying to shine in the darkness? Why? I want to point something to your attention that maybe you have not paid attention to in all your years of maybe observing these bodies. The question is, why is it that if it is darkness, why do we need the light called the moon to shine? Have you asked yourself that question? And what is God trying to tell you out of that? Because we have darkness. As far as darkness is concerned, darkness is darkness. Why should we have any element of light in darkness? So guys, technically, the moon is not supposed to be in existence. I repeat. Think about it. I said technically the moon is not supposed to be in what? Have you heard this story from scientists that the moon was once never there? No. I'm asking this question that have you guys ever read in any article that scientists believe that the moon that the earth has was once never there and a time is coming the moon will not be there? You can Google it. I mean, Google will help you. We can read an article on that again. Anyway, in the perfect order of things, from if you have an understanding of what I'm saying, or as I'm speaking, somebody can check this Google on this moon then. If you have a perfect understanding of what I'm saying, then you would understand that technically the moon is actually not supposed to shine in the darkness. We shouldn't have a lesser light ruling the darkness. Now, it is extremely important. Wow. Osofu too nearly had an accident as well. Osofu Lord, that's why he's also not here. Nearly. Just about 20 minutes before service, I was prompted on that. So I was lying on the bed here and I was praying. I was like, who? Accident? Who? Is that a word I have to give to somebody? But I prayed about it anyway. Amen. We progress. Thank God for his life. Amen. So I'm saying this. There is darkness. It is the season for darkness. Why should there be a lesser light that rules the darkness? Why should there be a lesser light that rules the darkness? Has anybody bothered to read about the moon? Because in the order of things or perfection, we shouldn't have a lesser light. Why do you guys think I'm saying that we shouldn't even have the moon shining? Because look at this. The moon is a false representative of some of us that have lesser light. You know, we are in a month of prevailing light, right? The moon is a false representation of the lesser light. And the deception of the lesser light in darkness is that it tries to shine, but yet, what does it not do? Let me see if we have some people that are quite analytical here. Juliana, Janwa, we have the moon that shines at night, right? What do you think is the limitation of the moon? Because the Bible says that he created a lesser light, isn't it? What do you think is the limitation of the moon? Darkness, isn't it? Thank you. And that's very true. I don't think maybe you've thought about it before, but listen, no matter how the moon shines or appears in the sky, do you realize that in as much as the moon appears at night, we still see darkness? But God says that the moon is a form of what? Light. The moon is a form of what? Light. How come light appears in darkness, but we still see darkness? Yeah, it's a lesser light, but how? Can I ask you this question? If you have a less torch and you turn it on in your room, would you not have some light in there? So why have we put the moon right up into the top of the thing? We say it's a lesser light. It comes, but still we experience darkness. The lesson here is that we didn't choose the theme prevailing light to try to make you pray powerfully. We choose the theme prevailing light for you to understand that there is actually a form of light
that carries the intensity, the power, and the ability to dispel what? Darkness. I want to ask you this question. Beyond the earth atmosphere, okay, when the sun is rising up, does a thick dark cloud over the earth go away from the earth, or it is still the same cloud, but then when the sun comes, we have darkness cannot be seen completely? It's the same. It is the same. Nothing changes. So the sun, in representation of the greater light, it's what we call the prevailing word, light. And the moon in the dark as a lesser light is the light that does not prevail. Beloved, what I'm trying to tell you is that both lights were created by God and they were supposed to serve a purpose. And the purpose for the lesser light is that no matter what it does in darkness, it can never outshine darkness, though it is light. Maybe you've heard that, light, when light comes, there is a kind of light that does not have the ability to overcome darkness. And as we are speaking today with you guys on this platform, there are people here like this who are carrying a form of light, but it's a lesser light. The light that you carry, the candle that you carry spiritually, is gone. It's like the light of the moon. In darkness, it seems to have a form of glory. It looks like it is beautiful, but in truth, it does nothing against darkness. It is a great deception for you to carry that kind of light, because your dark days would never leave you until the day that the sun rises and you indeed and truly have a light that is prevailing. Look, I'm telling you this mystery today. It's not everybody whose light is like the sun, and that is not an indication that you don't have the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Bible says that the Spirit of God brooded, isn't it? But there was no manifestation of light. There is a brooding over some people's life. There is an intention of the Spirit to do something good with them. But as things stand today, they've still not been able to come into the manifestation of a prevailing light that has the ability to separate the light from the word, the darkness. They are still bearers of the moonlight, the lesser light. And funny enough, the thing about the moonlight represents every form of false religion. For this is why a religion that I know, symbolically, their icon is the word, is the moon. If you don't understand the book of Genesis, you think that they are preaching a form of truth. They are preaching a form of truth, a form of truth, or sort of light that can never defeat darkness. Have you heard or ever been in a place where the moon shone and it shone so brighter that the night became like day? Since you were born, have you ever seen the moon shine so bright that the night was just like day? But you know, when there is darkness and the moon is there, people feel like, it's a nice sky. Do you know that spiritually, unlike physical, spiritually, when you are in the darkness, it is not like let's say after a while it is demanded that light should rise upon you? No, it won't. If you don't manifest light, you would have your moon days in the dark part of your life. That's how it is. Spiritually, it's either you are observing a perpetual darkness or you are observing a perpetual what? Light. So the spirit world is not like, you've slept today, so tomorrow they should break out on you. No, it is not like that, beloved. It is not like that. So there are people that, as I speak, they are Christians, they are believers, they are tongue-talking, speaking believers, but they don't carry a prevailing light. Anybody that does things in the day will never accommodate you for their work. You want marriage, you want a relationship, you want job prospect, you want a good ministry, but the light that you are carrying is not the true light. The light that you're carrying can manifest in character. The light that you're carrying can manifest in so many things that you do. What you've brought, the only way that light of darkness that you carry, and don't get it wrong, this is where people think that because you carry a lesser form of light, because of that you are of the devil. This is not what we are talking about. We all observe, as I'm speaking, it is night. The fact that it is night and I can see darkness does not mean I'm a witch. Do you understand me? Yes, I'm not. But until I have light to overcome this night, me and the witch in the dark, we all observing darkness, man. So the Bible says that darkness and light, they don't have anything in common. The only way I can associate with you as a bearer of light is when you two carry light. If you carry darkness and you come into my domain with your lesser light, you won't have it comfortable being around me. And this is not a matter of torchlight. It's a matter of being. Like, this is who you are. You carry a lesser light. Have you seen the moon that it has gone to visit sun? It has left and gone to visit sun, and they are they are having a good time. Have you seen them before? Have you seen the moon and the sun? As in, they collide and they stay together before. This is what some of you are trying to do. You are trying to unequally yoke. You are going to say hi to the moon from the sun. If the sun leaves its position and come forward just a little bit, we are dead.
This is what has happened. Many of you have left your post of light bearers, as light bearers, and you have tried to mingle in things that are of the lesser light. And what has happened is that you have killed generations of impact. Where you could have given life, you have killed it. And there are those that are carrying lesser lights who are aspiring to be like the bearers of the sun. Look, it's impossible. If you like, look at the solar system, look at where the moon is and look at where the sun is. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's been unequally yoke. And sometimes when people are being, when I say unequally yoke, I'm not talking about it just in the dimension of relationship, in so many things. Until you fix your light position, please stop trying to mingle in both light and dark. Don't do that. Fix the light position. This is why I say that, you know, when you are in a place where it's all the time trying to kill, overcome, it's not about the killing. It's about you. Manifest your light. When has the sun started to rise in the morning? The moon says, no way, you will never shine today. When have you seen that before? Ever possible that the sun would decide to rise and the moon will say, son, today I won't give you that position. Never possible. It's just unthinkable. And the sun at its glory obliterates the moon out of our eyes. We can't even see that there is a moon in the atmosphere ever. So your dark days, your days of darkness, you shouldn't even have the word day and darkness. It shouldn't be. It should be day and sun. Hallelujah. I came with this mission here. I wanted you to understand this, that the rule of the light of darkness is not necessarily the rule of Abeifo or witches and wizards at work. There are believers whose lights do not prevail in the night. There are believers whose lights are very deceptive. It does not have the ability to overcome any form of darkness, but they are carriers of light. But your light is less. Your light is less. You are in true light. Your light is less. Look, every man carries a light. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. You see these men that have been able to escape this accident. You think it's coincidence or luck. You put another man whose light is dim in that same position and he's gone. That's the end of their life, because that dark incident that approached them, their light was less. Let me tell you, believers, there is some light. Darkness has the ability to overcome it. So when you read the light shineth in the darkness, it gives an active proverb there that it is shining and the darkness is not able to overcome it. It is not applying to every form of light. It is applying to the prevailing light, the ruler of the day. Remember that he didn't say that the greater light will be the same light that will rule the night. Then we won't have night at all, because when the greater light rules night, it is broad day. When the greater light rules night, when the greater light shows up in the night time, we will see broad day. The season will change. You are a light bearer, but you can't change the season of your generation. Look at the sun. Our time is up. For the sake of time, I'll stop here. But I want you to pray one prayer for yourself. I'm not one that detects light. I'm not that one that investigates your light. But I want you to pray this prayer. And I want you to literally see yourself as one that is carrying light that needs to shine. I've always talked about the encounter that I had with light. And it wasn't the moon. It wasn't Bobo. Where I saw the moon, I didn't see it as something that had dominance. I saw the moon as something that could be handled in the palm. I don't know how to explain that to you, but maybe one other time I'll share it. But with the sun, I saw it as something that was entering my head in its full glory and brightness. You want to pray to God? We will pray for you, Mama Angela. We want us to pray to God concerning our light. Mama Angela, you know, the witches would tell you that they try to burn like light. They try. And most angels that you would have their visitation always come with an element of and the essence of light. You want to tell God, I don't know what your light is and how it is and how powerful it is, but you want to pray to God that having heard this message, every light that you carry that was once put under a bushel, I've prayed this prayer several times, that was even once blotted out, Lord Jesus, tonight set that light ablaze once more. It is this light, when that is gone, people will say that your glory is taken away, your glory is gone, it's not gone. You've only relegated yourself to the lesser light. It's not gone, but you are a product of the greater light. You want to pray to God.